That. If you have your Bibles here this morning, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 24. Hope you get to come back tonight at 6 o'clock. We will be preaching on what if there was no faith. And so another thought that came across my mind in the scripture here, so I pray you'll get to come back tonight as well. Here in Matthew chapter 24. And I'll begin in verse 32 as we stand to our feet here this morning. And I want to preach on a thought this morning. What if Jesus comes this year? What if? Here in chapter 24 and in verse 32. It says, "Now learn of a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know the summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus here this morning. Lord, we are grateful, Father, to be able to come to the house of God. And my, it's warm in here and cold outside. And Lord, it's light in here. And Lord, how you give us even these padded pews and you give us this church that we can come to enjoy, have pleasures of serving you in. Thank you for the people that you've gathered this morning. Thank you for the Word of God that we've already learned about fear and anxiety. Lord, the songs, God, that you have saved and have put in the hearts of those who wrote these songs we sung this morning called hymns, and Father, special by Brother George, and just the prayers that have been offered already, Father, the fellowship that we've gained between each other. Lord, we could leave this morning already and say it's been good to be in the house of God. Lord, we felt your presence. We've known, God, you're stirring in our hearts, and Father, we pray that somehow, some way, that we'd be more hungry and more thirsty for the Word of God, especially its truth. God, we know, Lord, that will make us free. Lord, I pray that you'd save the lost this morning, especially this morning. Pray, God, you'd guide us and lead us, that you'd empower us with your Spirit, Father, that you might get glory and honor. Father, I pray you'd hide me behind the cross this morning. That matter of fact, Lord, maybe nothing I say, Father, will be getting in the way. Only what you say, Father, will take, dear God, the sinner to be saved, the saved to be right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. What if? You know, we could say that about a lot of things this morning. What if I did this? What if I didn't do that? My, what difference it would make today if I would have done that, if I haven't done this. And so, but you know, what if Jesus would come today? Would that make a difference, or come this year, rather? Would that make a difference what you would do this year if you knew that Jesus was coming this year? And so that's the kind of thought that I want to bring. And not that we know that Jesus is coming, but what if he would come this year? What would you do any different? What would you be? What would be important to you? What would you right away take care of? What is it that it would move you to do today, tomorrow, or the rest of the year? Just sometime this year, Jesus would come. Let's talk about, first of all, the talk of his coming. We find that here in Matthew chapter 24. We find that the talk of his coming was from Jesus. If you have a red lettered edition Bible, you'll see that all the red letters Jesus is speaking. And so we find in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is speaking. They ask the question in verse 3, and the question is, "Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And so Jesus is answering that question. He's answering them. So we understand that the answer that Jesus is about to give is a question about his coming. So my thought this morning is what if he came this year? And so with that thought, it's Jesus that's doing all the telling. He's doing all the talking. Now we find in chapter 24, verse 3, we find that by thy coming. So we know that that's the context of what we're saying. In chapter 24, and there in verse 27, it says, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So again, we're talking about the coming here. In chapter 24 and verse 30, it says, "Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Another scripture that's just talking about the context of chapter 24, his coming. Chapter 24, verse 36 says, "But of the that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father." You might want to circle that one. Nobody knows when he's coming. Nobody knows the day or the hour. Nobody. Nobody. And so we find that verse 27 says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Still talking about the coming. Jesus is talking about, hey, I'm telling you that I'm coming. I'm telling you there's some coming of the Lord. And chapter 24, verse 38 says, "For as in the days that were before the flood, that were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Again, Jesus is telling us about his coming. And we see in chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." Look there in verse 44. "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Verse 46, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Verse 50, the Bible says, "The Lord of the servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of." And so we can just rest assured that according to the talk of his coming, Jesus doing the talking, it's pretty clear this morning out of the way of Matthew chapter 24. If we had no other chapter, no other book of the Bible, we'd have to come to a conclusion to say that Jesus is talking about his coming. And so with that being said, it could be this year, it could be next year, it could be the following year, but my thought this morning is what if Jesus comes this year? So not the talk of it, but I want you to notice the truth of it. For Jesus' coming is divided into two parts. The two parts is the rapture and his return. Let's look at the rapture firstly, there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. It's called the rapture. It's a two-part of the first part of his return. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. "For the Lord himself," that's the same Lord that said he's coming, he said, verse 16, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So those that are saved in Christ, born again, will rise first at this rapture. Verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So in this two-part coming, the first part is the church will be caught up in the clouds, called the rapture. That will happen at any time, right? In his return, it's going to happen in a way that we're going to reach him. He's going to reach us. He actually doesn't come to earth. He comes to the cloud. But he removes us, or he raptures us. He takes us by force, is the meaning of that word caught up. And we meet with the Lord in the air. And so that's where we'll be with the Lord forever. Now, Revelation chapter 19 is the actual return of the Lord. I'm talking about not only the talk of His coming, but I'm talking about the truth of His coming. 1 Thessalonians 4 gives us the truth of the rapture. Here in Revelation 19 gives us the truth of His return. Verse 11 of chapter 19, "And I saw heaven open, behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." Now you can study the Bible, we know that's Jesus throughout the Scripture. He says, "And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." And so when he first came to this world, he came, but he came as one that was a lamb. And he came to one that was going to seek and to save. When he comes back the second time, he's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he's coming back to judge and make war. And so we find in his eyes, in verse 12, were a flame of fire, in his head were many crowns. He had a name written no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So right there tells us who this is speaking of, Jesus. He says, "And the armies which were in heaven," well, who are those that which are in heaven? That's the rapture. And those now that were in heaven with him, he said, "Wherever I go, you go with me." And so we find there in verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress in the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God. He hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Verse 21 says, "And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." The battle of Armageddon he's speaking of. This is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes in Revelation chapter 19, in chapter 20 he takes the devil and he puts him into the bottomless pit. And then chapter 20 talks about a millennial reign of 1,000 years where Jesus rules and reigns. And we that are saved and we that are born again, we that have been raptured, the church who's come back with him and as his armies, we will rule and reign with him as well. This is truth of his coming. And so we find the rapture and his return. That's how you're going to break it into two. And so we see that his coming is coming in person. Jesus is coming in person. He's coming in with purpose. That is to battle, to make war, to judge. It's done and over with those who's coming to fight against. The Bible says very clearly that he defeats him in verse 21. "For the sword comes out of his mouth, all the fowls of the pit were filled with their flesh." He comes with power. You see the excitement that he's coming with. You see with the exaltation that he's coming with. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You'll find the Word of God. You'll find that he's faithful and true. That's exaltation. And so he's coming in person, he's coming in power, he's coming with purpose, he's coming with excitement, exaltation, he's coming with execution. He's not coming to love, he's not coming to gather, he's not coming to be friends, he's not coming to have fellowship, he's coming to defeat. Amen? And so we find that Jesus is coming. We've seen the talk of it, and we see the truth of it. Now let's talk about the time of it. The time of his coming. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. Go back to our text here this morning and let's talk about this a little bit here as we just want to give you a thought. If his return is this year. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. "But that day and hour knoweth no man." So we're going to preach on the time of his coming, but do we know? Do we know his time? The Bible tells us in verse 36, no. We don't know it. The Bible tells us in verse 36, we don't know the hour. "Knoweth no man, no the angels of heaven, but my Father." Mark that verse. It's important. So when somebody tells you that Jesus is coming August the 15th, 2021, just mark it down, they don't know. Now, would it be a guess and he might come on that day and they would be right? That don't mean that they knew. That just meant that they guessed. Amen? And so we just got to know right up front before we get into anything that I'm about to say that we have no knowledge of the day or hour when Jesus is coming. I'm preaching on a hypothetical, not that He's not coming. We know He's coming. He told us He's coming. And then we've seen the truth of His coming. We see what it meant when He does come. But the timing of His coming is going to be something only the Father knows. But we're going to go through the Scripture this morning, and I'm going to give you some theories. I'm going to give you some hypotheticals, and what we might say to you is a theory of what may be said or what could happen, or what could be possible. And so I want to, first of all, as I present to you a theory this morning called the 7,000 plan of God. The 7,000 year plan of God. The 7,000 year plan of God has been for many years in the way of theologians and people who write books and people who have been in church years ago, hundreds of years ago. And so this 7-year plan of God as the 7 days of creation. We know that God created in the first 6 days, and in those days there were 24-hour periods. On the seventh day, the Bible says that God rested on the seventh day. We're going to take that plan because we want to say, and it is true, that in Psalms chapter 90 and verse 4, I'll read it to you so we can have some sort of why that we think that this theory of the 7,000-year plan could be possible, that it could be right. We don't know. We're just giving you a theory of this. But Psalms 90 verse 4 says this, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night." And so in the Old Testament, it is saying that 1,000 years is a day. That's what it says. And then we also see it said again in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. You know, I wish I could have told you that I called Brother George this morning. And I said, "Hey, Brother George, I need you to read out of 2 Peter chapter 3 because what I'm going to preach on this morning is going to be perfect." He read this morning without any knowledge of what I was going to say. And so we find in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." So can we say in conclusion this morning, in the way of the Word of God, that 1,000 years to God is one day? And one day is 1,000 years. And so we can have that as truth this morning. That's not a theory. That's true. And we can also say that the number 7 throughout the Scripture is the word as a number of completion. We also can say that the number 8 is a number of renewing or a number of beginnings. We also can say that the number 6 is the number of man. For it was on day 6 when man was created. It was 666 as a mark of the beast. We'll find all through the Scripture. We have time to go through this numerology with you. But we'll find that like number 1 is God. Number 2 represents the deity of Christ. Number 3 represents Trinity. On and on and on. And so we find numbers in the Bible that constantly repeating itself. And number 7 is one of those numbers. We find it all through the Bible. Talking about 70 weeks in Daniel. 490 years, that is. And so we find 7 days of a week. It took God 6 days to make all, and on the seventh, He rested. And so if we take those days as 1 year, 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years, we take on day 1, which would represent the first 1,000 years of this world. And as we look at that, you say, well, how old is this world then? It'd be 7,000 years at the end, right? And so we find this period of 6,000 years of man. I just give you kind of a small thought. The world, according to the Scripture, was about 4,000 year B.C. when God created all things. It comes down to zero, right? Which was 4,000 years. From Jesus up to the day, it's almost 2,000 years. That's a 6,000 year period, right? 6 days. The seventh is a year of rest. It's the millennial reign. 1,000 years is the seventh week. God rested on that day. On the millennial reign will be the rest as well. And so that's the seventh period. You have the first 2,000 years was the age of Adam. The second 2,000 years that covered the 4,000 year span was the age of Abraham. And then from zero up to where we are today is the age of the church. And so however you want to look at it, it's a 6,000-year span. That 6,000-year span is the span that God gave to man to live out its life. You remember 6 is the number for man. And so 6,000 years, God said, I gave you. Then on the 7th, which is the last 1,000, I'm going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years as a millennial reign. I'm trying to get you a theory. There's some truth in it, but that's majority of theory because you say, why it's a theory? Because we don't know when he's coming. I'm just giving you some numbers so that you can think the time of his coming. Now let's look at day one. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to go through the first 6 days of creation. And I'm going to kind of put it together for you on this theory about what happened. All right, day number one, the first 1,000 years. Of the existence. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4. The Bible says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. And so what happened on this very first day, the first 1,000 years, or within the first 1,000 years of this world in which we live in? Man sinned. There was a division between light and darkness. You see, when Adam was created, God brought forth light upon him. And then when they sinned against God, darkness came in. So the first day, there was darkness and light. And the first 1,000 years would represent man's sin. Man's sin. That's John chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. That men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So the first 1,000 years of the existence of this world, we find man's sin. The second day, Genesis chapter 1, verse 7. God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Between years 1,000 and 2,000, the second day, there was a great flood. You might remember that flood called Noah's Day. That flood took place in 1656 B.C. between 1,000 and 2,000. So this is the second day. The second day, according to the Scripture, is God divided the waters. But this 2,000-year second day was when Noah's Ark was built and there was the flood. So how it correlates together on day 2 and 2,000. Y'all with me? Amen. Day 3, Genesis 1, verse 9. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And so that was the time when God took the waters and divided them, and guess what came forth was the earth. You know what happened on the third day in the way of man? It was the days of the Exodus when God divided the Red Sea, and they walked on dry ground. And so that was day 3. This is year 3,000. We find that took place on 2638 B.C. On day 4, Day four would be between years 3,000 and 4,000. Genesis chapter 1, verse 16. What happened on day four? God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the earth, the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars. You know what happened on this year of the 4,000? John the Baptist came forth preaching that he is the one of a forerunner, of that he's not the light, but that he is a witness to the light. Amen? And so this day, on the day that God created, on the day four, he created the light. And the light that came upon the earth, the moon and the sun, right? And so when we see the moon, is it not the reflection of the light? The sun? And so, friend, when you see John the Baptist come in at the beginning of the New Testament, he's not the light, he's the lesser light, but he's the reflection of Jesus the Son. And so we see on day four, as the light, the moon and the sun was created, we see on day four, in the year 4,000, that Jesus was born and that John the Baptist came forth. And he says, I'm the one who is telling you that there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to latch. Day five, Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly and the moving creature that hath life, the fowl that may fly above the earth and the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. God saw that it was good. And so we find that on day five that God had created animals, created fish and fowl. Oh, now this is the first day, day five, that there was anything of life. You know, already he has created light and darkness. He's created already the land. He's created water. He divided the waters from the fresh water, from the seawater. He has now took the moon and the sun and the galaxies, and he's created all this yet. But up to this point, there's no life. But on day five, all the animals and all the fish and all the fowl and all that we see today that would be considered animals or mammals or any kind of other way that you want to call them this morning is a creature with life. Day five. What happened in the year 5,000? The year 5,000, Jesus died and gave life. See, the year 5,000 and the year 6,000 is the only two days or the only two times that life was given to man. And so we find Jesus came and we find that he gave forth a life. And so that was the day five for God that he gave life to every creature that he ever created. He hasn't made man yet because man is born or is created in day six. But day five, all life came into these animals. And so we find that it is the day five, when Jesus came forth and Jesus went out and Jesus was preaching and Jesus was teaching and Jesus was telling the world that he's the light of the world. He's telling the world that he's the Savior of the world. He's telling the world that he came to die for their sin. He told them that he came to redeem them. He told them that he came to forgive them. He told them that he would give them eternal life. He that would give him abundant life, that he is life. And so that's what he's saying during this year of 5,000. And so as we see this and look at this, if we're going to go on this theory of a 7-day or 7,000-year plan, a 7-day plan, we already on day 5 now, so that means there's only 2 days left, right? Day 6 and day 7. Now, this might make sense to you. Whenever Jesus was saying that in the last days, what's going to happen in the last days? What's going to take place in the last days? Have you ever often wondered that, you know what? It's been like almost 2,000 years now since Jesus walked on the earth, and he said that in the last days, 2,000 years is a lot of days, right? But in the mind of God, It's only been two. The last days. And so whenever Jesus came, he says, there's only two more days left. We're in the last days. Does that make sense? If I say to you this morning, talking about time wise, I haven't talked to you in a long time, and it's been 2 or 3 years. And I say, hey, I talked to you. Hey, how you been? I ain't talked to you in 3 or 4 years. Okay, fine, I'm doing all right. Okay, I tell you what. Listen, I'm gonna call you soon. Now you would think in the context of that conversation that you're probably gonna call me in another 5 years, right? Soon. But if I call you every single day, and I call you one time and say, hey, what you doing? I'm doing all right. Hey, man, I got this. I'll call you real soon. You would think I'm going to call you back the same day, right? See, it's different in contexts. And so Jesus says to his apostles, he says to all his disciples, we're in the last days. See, God's not thinking 2,000 years. He's thinking 1 day, 2 days. So we're in day 5 when Jesus is out and about, and he dies on the cross. There's only one more day left. So when Peter and Paul begins to write 13 books of the Bible, he says, in the last days shall be perilous times. Last days, we've been doing this for 2,000 years. I mean, people have been mocking for 2,000 years. Jesus said, he's coming back, he's coming back, he's coming back. But if you get the theory, what we're trying to say is, Jesus is saying, I'll be back in 2 days. Kind of makes sense now, I would think. Amen? Y'all with me? I'm just trying to tell you of a theory of a 7,000 plan, year plan, that we can find in the Scripture, but we cannot know when he's coming. Day 6, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and verse 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he man. Male and female created he them. God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over all the fish, the sea, over the fowl of the air, and everything that liveth that moveth on the earth. So between year 5,000 and 6,000, so the year 6,000, today it would be now. We're in that year. We're in the 6,000th year from creation. Creation was around 4,000. 4,000 of the Old Testament. Now we're about 2,000 into the New Testament. That's just facts. And so we find in this 7,000 year plan, we're in day 6. What's the next day? Day 7. Well, what does day 7 mean? Well, day 7 means in chapter 2 and in verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and the host of them, and the seventh day God ended his work, which he had made, and rested on the seventh day from his work and all that he had made. And so we're looking for the seventh day to be the millennial reign, the 7 years of Revelation chapter 20. So we're in day 6. We can go back and trace day 5 and day 4, day 3, day 2, and day 1. That's already all past. And so today we're on the sixth day. The sixth day is that there's all is life. People are living. People are multiplying. People are being fruitful. People are replenishing. Is that not true? I mean, it just seems like 7.4 billion people all over the world is thriving. The majority of them, I know some of them are in poor cities or poor nations or poor villages or things like that. But the majority of people today, life has been different than 100 years ago. And so we see this moving on day 6, which has been the 6,000th year from day 1 that God created the earth and the heaven. So day 7 is the 1,000-year reign. We see that in Revelation chapter 20. Now, according to the theory, Jesus lived in day 4. That was the year 4,000, right? According to the theory, he lived going into day 5. From 6,000 to 4,000 was the age of the Gentiles. That was before Abraham. When Abraham came, then it was the age of the Jews. All the way to the end of the book, right? To Malachi. All the way up to 0. And then after 0 was the age of the church. All right? So if we look at timelines, that's what you would see. You'd see the age of the Gentiles up to Abraham, 2,000 years. From Abraham to the end of the Old Testament, it's another 2,000 years. And then from the New Testament on today, it's another 2,000 years. That's how it's broken up. So day 1, 2, 3, and 4, the Gentiles and the Jews. Day 5 and 6 is the church age. The last days is days 5 and 6, right? I mean, if you take a total of 7 days, and you already in day 5 and day 6, you would say we're in the last days. All right? We can't say we're in the early days. We're on past the early days. We can't say that we're in the middle. We're not. We're on day 5, day 6. We're at the last days. We're in the end times. Acts chapter 2. Turn with me there just for a reference. I want to bring to your attention this morning. Acts chapter 2. And look there in verse 17. Now this was the day of Pentecost. Almost 2,000 years ago, right? It came to pass in the last days. There's that reference. We're in day 5. We got day 6. That's the last days. It's the end. It's the end of the week. So we see that. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1. This know also that in the last days. Day 5. Day 6. And so we see that when Jesus came, He was in the last 2 days of the 6-year plan for man, the 7th year being the rest. So God has set forth in the way of His creation 6 days to create everything. If we go with that mindset of 1,000 years as a day and a day is 1,000 years, that means man has 6,000 years to live his life. At the end of the 6,000 years, it's over. And then there's 1,000-year millennial reign of rest. So, let's go back for just a moment. Go to Matthew chapter 2. When was Jesus born? This is a key factor here. Because once we go where Jesus was born, we find that we go 2,000 years from His birth, and that will be His return. Because 4,000 was already in the Old Testament. There's only 2,000 in the New. So we go back to Matthew chapter 2, trying to figure out on this theory, when was Jesus born? Well, we know that Herod, here in the Scripture, it was 4 B.C. 4 B.C. So as we look here, we look there in that verse 13 of chapter 2. It's now 4 B.C. This is historical facts. Says, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Be thou there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed in Egypt. And he says, and was there until the death of Herod. So Herod died in 4 B.C., that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord of the prophets, saying unto Egypt, have I called him my son. Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, exceeding wroth, he sent forth and slew the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under. So how old do you think Jesus would be? 2 years old. And so that would say, now this is where the theory comes in. Now don't take me as I'm telling you when Jesus is coming back. I'm trying to tell you the time of it. By the things of this theory. So, with this being said, if it's 4 B.C., and he's killing all the kids, all the boys or all the children, or men, boys at 2 years old, that means Jesus was born at 6 B.C. 6 because it goes down, right? 6, 5, 4, 3, 2 in the Old Testament. And so he's born at 6 B.C., Herod says in 4 B.C., let's kill all the children at 2 years old and under because we got to get rid of this guy. So just say, in the way of the theory, that it was 6 B.C. when Jesus was born. So Jesus has a 30 years, at 30 years old, Jesus comes into his ministry. He has about a 3.5 year ministry, starting in the age of 30. Jesus would have died around 28 A.D. 28 A.D. 6 B.C. to 28 A.D. will be 33 years and some odd months. And we know Jesus died at that age. So 28 A.D. plus 2,000 years is 2028. Is that right? You subtract 7 years because of the tribulation period, you come to what? 2021. I'm just saying it's a theory. If Jesus comes back this year, that's all I'm saying. If he does, let's go to Matthew chapter 24, back into 32. So that's the time frame. That's the 7 years. That's the 7,000 years. That's kind of the theory that I just gave you. I'm going to give you one more thought and we'll close this morning. Matthew chapter 24, and there in verse 32. Jesus is speaking of a fig tree. It is common knowledge, it is understanding, that this fig tree represents the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel. He says that this fig tree, when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know the summer is nigh. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. What is near and even at the doors? His coming. That's the context of the Scripture. So we already read that. We know that. That what he's talking about is this fig tree, which represents the nation of Israel. When it buds, when it becomes a nation, when it becomes flourishing, this generation, it says, there in that verse 34, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled. Now, when did the nation of Israel become budding, flourishing? 1948. That's when it became a nation. Now, turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 90. Psalms chapter 90. Look at verse 4. We read this earlier. About 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. So chapter 90, verse 4. 1,000 years is in the sight of but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest him away as with flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth, it groweth up. The evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, and secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. What is that? That's 70 years. Right? 1 score is 20, and 3 score is 60 plus 10. That's 70 years. So God's saying in your lifetime, in the context of chapter 90, he's talking about the span of life for us, 70 years. But then he goes on and says in verse 10, if by reason of strength they be 80, how many years is that? 80. And so we take 80 years, which is a lifespan of strength, right, which is a generation. And so if the Jews became a nation in 1948, and you add 80 years to 1948, what do you come to? 2028. and you subtract the seven-year tribulation period, and you got 2021. We're talking about when Jesus is going to come. You say, well, what's so big deal about the 2021? It's to subtract, because Jesus is coming after the tribulation period, right? Yeah, but 7 years before the tribulation period is the rapture. The rapture is going to be 7 years prior to 2028, which is 2021 in this theory. Now here's the hypothetical. If Jesus is going to come this year in 2021, I want to say one more thing. The thought of His coming, what would you do? Would you continue on as is? Would you seek the lost? Would you begin to tell your loved ones and friends and neighbors and co-workers and say, hey, listen, 2021, if Jesus is coming back, if the theories are right, if the fig tree is right, He's coming back this year. Would you begin to tell those, listen, if you miss the rapture, you're going to find yourself in a 7-year tribulation period. I love you too much for that. I love you too much for you to go through. Would you receive Jesus today? That's if He's coming this year. Now, could He? Sure, He can come tomorrow. He can come today, 4 days even out. But if we knew, and if we thought, and according to this theory, and the fig tree, and all of the other signs, and all this coming up, if He, Jesus, would come in 2028, that means in 2021, the rapture take place. Would you start getting your heart right with God? Would you become more faithful to the house of God? Would you begin to live your life differently if you knew that Jesus was coming this year? Would it change your heart for sinners? Would it change your heart for the hunger and thirst of God's Word? Would you begin to get your bitterness and get your anger and get your differences between each other and get things right at home, get things right in church, get things right at work, get things right in your life? You begin to live for God. You begin to give your heart to God. And if you're lost without God and you're headed for hell, that this year could be the year that the rapture takes place and you're left behind? Wouldn't you want to be saved if you knew that Jesus was coming in 2021? Would it change at all anything in your life? Would it bring some anxiety and fear? Would it bring some anticipation and hope? I've got to get my life together. I've got to get things in order. And either I'm fixing to meet God in the sky, or I'm fixing to be left behind, and I'm going to face all that tribulation that Brother Larry's been preaching for all those years that the Word of God has presented. All those years. And I can't just imagine that my mom and my daddy and my brother and my sister and my cousin and my wife or my husband or my children would ever go through the tribulation period. Oh, would you come to God now? Because Jesus might be coming in 2021. According to the theory, He is. According to the fig tree, He is. But we know Matthew chapter 24 says that no man knoweth the day or the hour. So don't leave out of here and say that Brother Larry preached that Jesus is coming in 2021. Brother Larry didn't say that. I'm giving you a thought this morning. If He does come, and I just gave you some theories, gave you some thoughts, would it make a difference in your life today? Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The fig tree. Some might say, Brother Lai, that was very interesting. That's the wrong response I needed. What I needed, Brother Larry, that really put conviction in my heart. To know that there is even a possibility that Jesus is coming in 2021. I need to get my life right. I need to confess my sin. I need to be saved. I need to get right with my spouse. I need to get things cleared up with my children. I got to get my life in order. I got to begin to live for Jesus. Not much time is left. I got to get saved. Won't you come? 2021. Now this is a true statement. Jesus could come back this year. He had the talk of it. We got the truth of it. Now the timing. We don't know. But sure does. Sure does. It's intriguing. Once you put all those numbers together. Help us today, Lord. You sing, Brother Jordan. Won't you come give your heart to Jesus this morning? If you're listening on the way of sermon audio or on our website, won't you just bow your head? Even in this place here, bow your head and your heart towards God. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm without God. If the rapture would happen today, I'd be left behind. I don't have Jesus as my Lord. I don't have Jesus as my Savior. Oh, I know about Him. I heard the stories, but I've never repented of my sin. Never turned from my wicked ways. I've never received Jesus as the controller and ruler of my life, as the atonement for my sin, for the Lamb that I can have forgiveness. I ask Him into my heart this morning to save me, come into my life and change me, that I may follow Him all the rest of my life. Jesus said much more many times that salvation is to follow Him than to believe Him. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Are you following Jesus this morning? Are you accompanying with Him? Are you siding with His party? Are you sold out and committed to Christ? If Jesus would come back in 2021, how would you fare? Father, I come to You in Jesus' name this morning. We thank You, Lord, for just the truth that we've heard, and Lord, then just the theories, God, that the Word of God has presented this morning, and we understand that no man knoweth the hour or the day when You shall return. Even the angels don't know, but the Father does. And so this morning, we're not at all confessing that we know anything. All we are, though, is revealing and proclaiming that You're coming back. And it could be this year. With that knowledge, Lord, will it change our lives? Would it make us different? I pray, Father, that it would. I know it's, You already touched my heart. And God, You've already spoke to me in some areas of my life. And God, You've already helped me this morning. I want to praise You for it, and I want to honor You. I pray You'll save so many because of this. I pray, God, that Jesus could be glorified in so many lives. It's our desire this morning, Lord, that people fall down and give their heart and life to Christ. Oh, bless us as we go home and as we eat today and we come back to church at 6 o'clock. God, once again, You'll meet with us, Your children. Open our eyes and hearts, and God, that we'll give You praise and glory for it. I would say, as the church and the bride, as the bride and the Spirit has said in Revelation 22, even so come quickly. Amen. Amen.